Good morning, Center Point. Good morning. So today, here's what happens. We pause and we celebrate all that God has done in this past year. And here's how we're going to do that. By me highlighting a lot of people and a lot of ministries that God has used over this past year to shape us into the people He's calling us to be. God's at work, and really, as I share today, I want you to understand that even though I'm going to be calling out people and we're going to be celebrating one another, we're really just coming to give God one big thank you. And so we approach Him with very grateful hearts for all that He's done and all that He's doing. Now, I have a challenge for you. This is a homework assignment. I want you to listen today to this report, this celebration that's shared with you. And along the way, I want to challenge you to take a note here or there about any new way that God is calling you either to pray for the life of our church, or perhaps He's calling you to better serve in the life of the church by some new movement in your own life or some new ministry over this next year. And what I want you to do is just be able to make a note of that. You're going to see a lot of images today, hear a lot of stories, and I want you to be able to hone in on what He's saying to you today. Sound good? Okay, three of us. Sound good? All right, you ready? All right, here we go. We're going to do this really fast, okay? This is our focus at Center Point Church, to become more like Jesus Christ in all of life through three primary practices. And the first practice for us is the practice of worship. Under Pastor Alyssa's leadership, our worship arts team of 36 very dedicated people facilitate our weekly worship gatherings. I'm very thankful for this team, and we pray together every Sunday morning to get our worship gatherings off in the right direction, and we do that right down here front in the front of the worship center. And I just want you to know, if you're a part of the worship team or not, you're welcome to come and join us at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning right down front as we spend time in prayer together. Well, this past fall, we walked through two very important sermon series in the life of the church. The first one was simply entitled, My Marriage for God's Glory. It was focused around this idea that after God, but above all others, I'm called to make my spouse my top priority. We know that God used this series to strengthen marriages and families, and for that, we are very grateful. Our other fall series, though, was entitled simply Money, Past, Present, and Future. Now, following this series, Don Myers and Brandon Shattuck, they were able to lead a brand new round of Financial Peace University. And thanks to their leadership, we give praise today. This one class of Financial Peace University paid off $13,000 of consumer debt. Not only did they pay all that off, they cut up 22 credit cards. Some of us don't know what to do. Like, I don't know if I should. Yeah, and not only that, but they accumulated over $12,000 in savings over a nine-week period. This is God bringing about real change in the lives of people in 9 weeks. Praise the Lord. Center Point, I want to thank you this morning for your consistent giving of your tithes and offerings. You know, the money that we contribute to the life of the church fuels our ministry. And one of the things that you have asked me to do very unashamedly, and so I do it very unashamedly, is you've asked me to remind you often of the call that's upon your life as a disciple of Christ to be faithful in your giving and in your stewardship. I also want to thank everybody that's participated in some special offering over this past year. I'm very proud to tell you today that in 7 years through our celebration fund, which strictly goes to help children and teens and college students get to camps and mission trips and other life-changing events, we've raised over $100,000 in the last 7 years through our scholarship fund. Just this past year alone, $12,000 came in for our scholarship fund. Last year alone, through our faith promise giving, which goes 100% to missions, either missions here in Orlando or around the world, we raised roughly over $40,000 through our faith promise giving. Since starting our emergency fund just last year, we're right at $100,000 for our emergency fund to help us as a church continue to move forward in times of need or crisis along the way. And today we're celebrating a 4-year total of our Christmas offerings of over $166,000. Now, in this past year, just this year alone, we were just over $33,000 for Christmas offering, and that offering has allowed us to come alongside the Center of Missionary Formation in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. It's also helping us fuel our Parents Night Out ministry right here in Orlando. And we're also able to take care of some needs throughout our facility. Now, when we got into the new year, we welcomed in the new year with a sermon series entitled Prepare. And ultimately, that was a hope that we would continue to pray for the Holy Spirit to make us more and more dependent upon Him so that things are happening in the life of our church that we can't explain because of our own creativity, our organization, our administration, but simply through the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us. I'm very glad to tell you that last year in the life of our church, 37 people received salvation as they committed their lives to Christ, and we baptized 22 people last year. Having baptized 22 people last year is the most we've ever baptized in a year that I have been your pastor. Well, also in January, we got a very cool experience on the first Sunday of January when we entered the Styler family into wedded bliss right here on a Sunday morning. Congratulations, Joshua and Donna. And I got to tell you also, I'm so thankful for the team of preachers that we have emerging here at Centerpoint. In my absence, I am very blessed to know that on any given Sunday, you might hear from Pastor Fabiana, Pastor Alyssa, Brian Postlewaite, or Sean Bailey. And I got to tell you, the Lord has blessed us with these types of speakers who listen to what the Lord is saying and then communicate it to the body of Christ. And I want to thank all of those folks out there this morning. Thanks, Brian and Sean, Alyssa, Fabiana. Now, here's the thing. If you've missed any of their messages in the past, thanks to our video guy, Kevin Davison, who's up in the loft, or he's somewhere around here. You can catch all those messages on our YouTube channel. Now, I'm putting in this plug for him because I know he cares about this deeply. If you're a techie, audio, visual, all that kind of stuff, you like filming and producing and editing, he's looking to build that team right now so you can speak to Kevin today and get the show on the road with him. Now, each Sunday morning, Pastor Ryan and a team of 15 different people make it happen for our kids in both our kinder church and our children's church set up. And here's the thing. Even though 15 people come alongside him every week to make that happen, I got a little secret for you. He actually needs 25 people. So if you're out there today and it's time for you to step up and serve in our kids' ministry on Sunday morning, Pastor Ryan is right over here waiting to speak to you today. I also want to thank all of our kids who proclaimed Jesus' birth through our children's Christmas musical in December. And it was so good to be together as we celebrated this good news together.
At just the right moment in the fullness of time, God came down to earth to show just how much He loves us. Love has come as a baby. God sent a Savior straight out of Bethlehem.
Molly Hampton, everyone. Thank you, Molly. Every Wednesday night, Pastors Javier and Fabiana gather our youth ministry in. Their team of leaders facilitate worship every Wednesday night. And even right now, the Rojases are going about building a much larger and stronger base of youth mentors. Please, Centerpoint, be in prayer for this effort because we believe that every teen is one caring adult away from being a success story. That's something to celebrate right there. In May, we celebrated our 75th anniversary as a church. Special thanks to Joan Tiller and her entire team who made that happen and led that for us. One of the highlights of that 75th celebration was the ministry of Carrie Brooks, who's back here on Lights for us today, but Carrie's artwork that's now hanging in our entryway back there. And there's a gentle but urgent reminder for us by that artwork. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. Centerpoint, I come today to tell you, to remind you, we are those workers. So Centerpoint, live beyond yourself and give your life to the work of the kingdom of God. Centerpoint, this is the true life of worship to which we are called. Amen? Amen. Let's take a little commercial break. Compliments of Ovations 2014. You can focus your attention on the screen.
Are you one of many churchgoers embarrassed by your snoring during church or the occasional eye roll or head bob during the Sunday morning preaching?
Well, now we have a personalized, proven solution right here.
Welcome to Centerpoint's Head Club.
I got my Sunday morning confidence back. My husband was like, that's my wife, staying awake for an entire sermon.
Head Club offers the one and only public yet proven solution for the sleepies on Sunday mornings.
This is a proven method backed by our 100% guarantee satisfaction. Call or go online today.
Do you realize how nice it is for someone to walk up to you and say, you're Will Forman, aren't you? I realize that you stayed awake for the entire sermon today.
After 12 years and 3 happy clients, it's no wonder Head Club is a trusted stay awake on Sunday morning provider. And the reason 3 others just like you are on their way to turning their worship experience upside down.
Why do I love Sunday morning? Because the Head Club brought the sermon experience back to me. No more drooling on my neighbor's shoulder. I'm wide awake now.
Call now for your free consultation that will result in public exaltation.
And we'll give you a free month subscription to our standard as our gift.
Available to the first 75,000 callers. Call now.
Thank you, Head Club.
Thank you, Head Club.
Thank you, Head Club.
Thanks, Head Club.
Head Club is a registered trademark of Centerpoint Community Church.
We're seeking to become more like Christ in all of life through worship and also through fellowship. Fellowship is the connection and discipleship piece of our ministry at Centerpoint. Our kids' clubs are proving to be a great catalyst for bringing in new families into the life of the church, but also helping kids to connect and grow in their faith. Recently, a family that came to Centerpoint for the very first time through one of our kids' clubs accepted Christ as their Lord, and we give God praise for that. And I just want to tell you this morning, Centerpoint, you know how new folks find out about the kids' clubs? People just like you tell them about them. And it's a pretty soft ask when you invite them. I mean, it really just goes like this. Hey, does your kid like sports? Does your kid like cooking or art or Legos or music? If so, we have a place for them at Centerpoint Church. Our Club 45 ministry is our ministry to fourth and fifth graders, and those kids are the ones who are about to make the transition into middle school. They're in no man's land between the children's ministry and the youth ministry. It's an incredible group of students that we have in our Club 45. We meet on Wednesday nights for teaching and fellowship, and I want to thank today Eric Kinsey and Don and Bunny Sutter and Marley Adams for all that they do to make Club 45 pretty stinking awesome. Last summer, our kids experienced both a children's camp and vacation Bible school. Incredible events on both accounts. Now, through the help and support of 98 volunteers, we were able to welcome in 311 kids to vacation Bible school. And I just want to publicly thank everyone right now. If you are a part of VBS, either by participation or volunteering or you attended, will you simply stand where you are right now? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Centerpoint, we believe that every child is one caring adult away from being a success story. 2 people want to clap for that? All right, let's take another commercial break thanks to VBS 2019.
Are you ready to roar? Head out on an African adventure that engages the whole herd. Create a stampede of fun at Sing and Play Roar. Bring the Bible to life in wild Bible adventures. Experience jaw-dropping discoveries at Imagination Station. Run wild with high-energy activities at Stampede Sports. Discover what life is like for 5 amazing kids who live in Africa at KidVid Cinema. Get ready to let the good times roar! I'm trusting you, God, you are good.
All right, so VBS is just around the corner. There's already information in your worship folder and on the website. We need volunteers. Get your kids registered. Get the word out. It's going to be a great week this summer. And I know Pastor Ryan would love to be able to speak to you, and Shelly Miles as well. Thanks for your leadership in both those areas. I'm happy to report that our Journey Early Learning Center, our preschool, is up and running, and it is awesome. Thanks to the leadership of Darcy Abuel, Carolyn Novak, Michelle Thurman, and our team of teachers, we're not only preparing children for education and what's next in kindergarten, but we're also introducing them very early to the love that Jesus has for them. We currently have about 35 teachers serving 177 kids and their families through Journey Early Learning Center. Thank you, Darcy, and to your team. You do an amazing, amazing job. At Centerpoint, we believe that the Word of God has the power to change our lives from the inside out. Last year, we gifted over 70 Bibles to people who received a Bible either for the first time or were simply in need of a Bible, and we give God praise for that. And we also celebrate today our quizzing ministry that's happening both for children and teens through the efforts of Chris and Alpha Reniger and also Jeff and Vicki Foley. Thank you for leading our kids into the Word. Last summer, our teens went to camp, and one highlight from camp was a testimony of a girl who went to camp, and when she went, she was openly talking about the idea that she was very unhappy with God at the moment. Her family had recently moved to Orlando, and as she left all that was familiar, she was really just struggling with the transition, and at camp, she was able to reconnect and reconnect with God, but also deepen some new friendships, and I just say thanks be to God for how He worked in her life over that week. Our youth ministry, we need people to be praying for our youth ministry. Every Tuesday morning at 6 a.m., a group gathers out in our plaza specifically for the purposes of lifting up our students and our adults in prayer, and I need to make you aware this is open to everyone. You are invited to come at 6 a.m. on Tuesday mornings on your way to work, whatever it is you're doing, to come and pray for our youth ministry. Now, we also at Centerpoint have a lot of different ways for adults to connect and experience fellowship and discipleship, not the least of which is our women's ministry under the guidance of Ms. Carolyn Novak. Thank you, Carolyn. Also, our adult Sunday school classes under the leadership of Judy Beeler, Bob Sparrow, and Brad Miles. Our Tuesday morning precept study led by Ms. Sharon Thomas and a group that gathers to get into the Word together. We have community groups going on throughout the city. And our GROW ministry. GROW stands for God Renewing Our Women. And that is exactly what's happening on Thursday mornings right here in this room as over 100 women gather on Thursday mornings to meet for the purposes of friendship, fellowship, and discipleship. I want to thank this morning Caroline Till and Kathy Davis and all of our table leaders for all that you do to make GROW happen. You're making a huge impact. Everybody with me, say uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right, one more commercial break. Let's take a look at the screens. Ovations 2018.
Coming just in time to kickstart your Christmas shopping, a revolutionary new product, Oil of Obey. What is Oil of Obey? Thanks to recent scientific breakthroughs that haven't fully been explained to us, we're making available for the first time ever a new line of topical and aromatic products that benefit not just your body, but your spirit as well. Spiritual essential oils, pure, all natural, therapeutic, empowering, purifying, moisturizing, gluten-free, naturalistically natural, nature-y nature oils for your whole soul. Prevent spiritual fatigue with concentration. This blend of essential oil is distilled from skunk cabbage, stinkwood rot, and graveside flower concentrate, help you concentrate on your spiritual health like never before. Devotional time a little dry? Hydrate every soul in your house with Old Testament. We've grounded pages of old, unused Bibles into a powder and added a touch of peppermint oil. Simply diffuse this scripture mixture and your whole family will be truly living and breathing God's Word. Cinnamon is a great purification and protection against environmental threats. Administer a few drops to your skin and ungodly impulses are quickly replaced by a gentle tingling sensation. Act now and we'll throw in our proprietary Peace Now dispenser at no extra charge. Fill your house with the peace that passes all understanding and consciousness. Eat it, drink it, diffuse it, cook with it, put it in your laundry, bathe in it, remove your blood and fill your veins with it, or simply rub it on your soul. No, your soul. Now you can care for your soul the way nature intended, with a distilled oil of random shrubs and weeds from around the world. Oil of Obey Spiritual Essential Oil. Not just essential, reverential.
If you're not volunteering in some capacity at Centerpoint and you're not making it to Ovations every fall, this is the kind of riffraff you're missing out on. So please join us. We're seeking to become more like Christ in all of life through worship, fellowship, and lastly, service. Sadly, because of service, we're saying goodbye to the McKinley family right here. Yeah. Dan, Bethany, and their kids have been a huge part of this church for a long time. And Dan recently accepted a pastoral associate pastor position in California. And we love them. We're going to miss them. God's blessings on you as you go. Yeah. Every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m., Tom Geyer and Kathy Davis lead a worship service at Gentry Park Assisted Living and Memory Care, which is a facility just behind our property. Tom's currently pursuing a call to missions through the Church of the Nazarene, and he hopes to end up in Africa sooner than later. He's also the head of our maintenance and custodial department here at Center Point. One of our greatest praises growing out of last year was our Parents' Night Out ministry. This is time that's set aside for spouses and single parents in our community to simply get time to themselves as we provide a safe, fun space right here in our building. Recently, a little girl gave her life to Christ at Parents' Night Out, and recently another little girl was heard saying, "I want to come here every Friday night." Well, unfortunately, we're only offering it once a month. Maybe in the days ahead, we'll be open every Friday night. Each month, we are welcoming 70 to 90 children into our building as their parents are able to get out, and we have an incredible team that's walking with them, having fun, and exploring God's love with them. If you've been a part of Parents' Night Out in any capacity, will you stand right here where you are? Yeah. Thanks for making that happen. Last summer, our middle schoolers took a mission trip to New York City. Centerpoint students were caught praying with and helping the homeless, and also they had the opportunity to partner with a local church. Our high schoolers went to Costa Rica also to partner with a local church, and on this trip, a man named William, one of the nationals that they were working alongside, gave his heart to the Lord through the ministry of our team, and we give praise and glory to God for that. But I also want to tell you about a young man named Justin Santos. When Marley and I bought our first house here in Orlando in the Waterford area, when we moved in, we met a little straggly sixth grader named Justin. He was our neighbor. We knew that he wasn't very good at ping pong and he loved basketball. And as we got to know Justin and he started growing older, a few years later, he ended up at Timber Creek High School. When he was at Timber Creek, he had to fulfill his high school service hours. And so my wife's forethought said, "Wonder if he could do something with Upward at the church." So Marley suggested that he get involved with Upward, and the next thing you know, under the direction of Megan Blue, he started scoring, keeping score and refereeing right here in this room. Now eventually, through that connection of Upward as a volunteer, Justin went on to become a part of our weekend custodial staff here at the church. Being a part of the weekend custodial staff led to him becoming a part of our youth ministry. Him being a part of our youth ministry eventually led to him committing his life to Christ, which eventually led him on a mission trip for the first time to Costa Rica last summer with our teens. He left? Yeah, you can celebrate that. That's something worth. When he graduated high school, he ended up in college in Lakeland, Florida, and he immediately started seeking out various college ministries on campus. His first time back at Center Point after he left for college, he told me that he was pursuing a ministry minor and he wants to serve the Lord in whatever capacity he finds himself. And despite being in college, he still wanders in and out of this place when he's in town visiting his mom and dad. Now, throughout his journey, he would go on to thank not only the Adams family, but Megan Blue, Will Foreman, the entire Upward Sports Ministry team, Pastors Javier and Fabiana and Tom Geyer and many others who walked alongside him. And I'm very thankful today for what God's done in Justin's life. Last year through our Upward Sports Ministry, we saw 164 kids come for soccer, basketball, and cheer. Thanks go out today to Megan Blue and Will Foreman and Franco Lesameda for their leadership and all of our coaches and staff who make that happen, not just for us, but for families and children in our community. In December, Rick and the entire Osteen clan led our Gift of Hope, which is our Christmas outreach. Through Gift of Hope, we were able to serve some 40 families under-resourced through that Christmas season. And I want to thank everyone who's a part of CenterPoint who either donated time or food or toys or energy in order to make Gift of Hope happen. It truly is an all-church effort. Now, currently, as we speak, yeah, give thanks for Gift of Hope. Currently, the Rojas family is serving as missionaries to the Avenir apartment community right here in Orlando. And through the Apartment Life organization, they are able to live missionally in that community and share the good news of Jesus through love and friendship. And I just want to throw it out there for you today. If there's anything in you that you would feel the Lord calling you to be a missionary to the very city in which you live, and that might be an apartment community for you or your family or you and a friend, I would love to have that conversation with you and pray through that time with you. Now, last August, our pastoral staff and some other church leaders, we went to the Dominican Republic on a mission vision trip. We went to explore a potential partnership with both a missionary training center and a church planting movement that is happening in major cities throughout our Mesoamerica region. This partnership led us to send another team in February. And we have not only been able to send two teams so far, we've been able to contribute over $10,000 to the Center of Missionary Formation in Santo Domingo through your faithful giving. And so this morning, as we gear up for our very next trip, because we have one coming up in the future, I've asked our February team to come up and share briefly about their experience. As they prepare to do that, one thing that struck me on our trip in February was a statement that one of the missionaries made. Her name is Chelsea Fry. She was talking about the varied nature of the work that we're called to in missions. And here's what she said. She said, "We're here to build the church, and sometimes we work on a building. Sometimes our mission trips, they lead us in that direction. Let's go build a building, paint a wall, build a wall, take a picture in front of it, and then go back home. That's not our hope for our partnership with the Mesoamerica region. We want to be able to walk life beside these missionaries and the efforts that they are taking under." And so on that night when she said that, "We're here to build the church, and sometimes we work on a building," my mind started going crazy because it's the first time I've ever heard that statement. And I started filtering that through everything we do as a church. We're here to build the church, and sometimes we have parents' night out. We're here to build the church, and sometimes we have VBS, and sometimes we have Sunday school. We're here to build the church, and sometimes we have a worship gathering, and sometimes we go on a mission trip, and sometimes we just sit and talk and pray together. We're here to build the church, and we not only want to be a part of that movement here in Orlando, we're very thankful today to be in a partnership with church planting efforts all throughout the Mesoamerica region. And so with that, I'm going to invite Marley and Cheryl to come up and share a little bit about local partnerships in the DR. Put your hands together, show your love for Marley Adams.
Good morning. The pictures are scrolling from our trip. I'm going to share about how this is actually the church in Pantoja where we joined them for worship on the Sunday that we were there. That's what I'm going to share about today. What you need to know about Pantoja as a community, as a neighborhood, is this is a neighborhood that is, it's pretty low income. There are a series of houses up and down this street, moderate homes around this church building. But if you go down the road, there's a dirt path. And if you go through that dirt path, through the trees, there's this opening, it's a sidewalk, and down, you can see down the hills just dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of little homes. I would say probably hundreds down there. It's just very large space. It's expansive. But these homes are, you could probably fit three of these homes in one of our Sunday school classrooms to give you an idea of the size. And they're kind of like metal wooden homes with, you know, no electricity, open air. You can hear every conversation. I mean, think about that, you know, when you're having an issue with your kids or something. Everybody's hearing everything from everyone. But one of the things that stood out to me was that Emily, you can't talk to her about that community without just tears running down her face, because the community has some cycles of abuse that are pretty rampant in this area, and cycles of just different issues with, that come with poverty as well. And so the family issues, while there are issues, it's not like here in the U.S. where we have systems set up where we call a hotline to get help for a child. There's nothing. There's no social services. There's no family supports. So if a child is being abused or there's something happening in the home that's not safe, there's no one to call. It's just a cycle that continues to go on. So you have to understand the church is a very important part, a safe haven in each community that's there. So this church was planted 3 years ago. Scott and Emily, who will be preaching next week in our service, will be here from the DR. They are pastoring it right now, but they're raising up discipleship leadership to take it local people to lead it in the future. And 90% of the congregation is children. So while it started with a few people, now there are, it's maybe around 100 people total. I'm not really exactly sure of the exact number. The whole congregation, maybe 100 people, 90% of that is children. So in 2 years' time, with primarily children in a low-income area, they raised enough funds to build that building. So while they used to meet in a building down the road and rent space, which was later gifted to them by the grace of God because a woman saw what they were doing and wanted to support it, now that is a youth area, a youth building, and they have their own church building. It's the one level that you saw earlier, and that's where we worship that morning. We met people for Sunday school class, and we're able to hear the hearts of the ladies and the people of just praying for their husbands. There are not a lot of men that come to church in this community, a lot of women and tons of children. So hearing them pray for their husbands, it was our huge blessing to be able to provide a marriage seminar that evening, which was, of course, the vision of Scott and Emily, knowing the family issues that they're up against, just to pour into these families, pour into the knowing that if the hearts of the spouses of the parents were changed and bent towards God, that it would completely change the whole community for the children. So we did a marriage seminar going mainly off of the love languages, and I just wanted to report to you that prayers from years and years and years past were answered. There was a man there who'd never been to church in his life, who came to church for the first time. A couple of men who the spouses have been praying for years for them, they came to church for the first time. And we were able to do the seminar with about near 40 adults or so, which is double the amount of adults, quadruple what's normally in that church. So it was a huge success, and the children were loved on well by the rest of the group. Dwayne and I did the marriage piece, and Cheryl and JT, and then the rest of the group loved on the kiddos, and it was a huge blessing. So we love Pantoja. Please keep praying for that community as they continue to grow their ministry in that neighborhood. Thank you.
Okay, so in the back of the church, well, actually it's the front, like where they preach and have music and everything, there's this huge banner. And the banner says, each one, reach one, disciple one for 1 year. And that's something that the missionaries were stressing that we could do back home. What can you take away from your mission trip and bring back home and do? And that's something that we as Christians can do. We don't have to go out and save the whole world, but we can reach one person. And you can disciple that one person, and then in turn, they can continue on, and that's how the church grows. That's New Testament preaching. So they have their Sunday school, and they have their worship service on Sundays. On Wednesday nights, they still want it to get together. But it's very dangerous there at nighttime, and they didn't want the women and children to be endangered. So they had to come up with a way of what can we do. So they decided to have home groups like we have here in our church, and they met together. So they had some key leaders volunteer to have the meetings in their house or their apartment or on the pathway of where the shanty homes were. We broke up on Wednesday nights and went to the different places our group to experience their Bible study. I went to the one in the shanty homes, and they set up chairs for us, and we just sat on a sidewalk, and people passing by doing their own thing, and together we read scriptures, we prayed, we sang songs, and then at the end, and they talked and everything and shared their concerns and their needs and their prayer requests. And they got together, and the adults prayed over the children that came to this Bible study. So we prayed over the children and their needs and their requests, physical needs, their family needs, their hurts. They were very sincere, and that was really cool. But what was even cooler, they turned around and they had the children pray for the adults. And that really touched my heart, to know that children are important too. And they can do things, and they can't just sit on a seat and be quiet till church is over. But they had a part. They read the scripture. They sang the songs with us, and they prayed for the adults. And then we got to hug each other and to show the love of Jesus to each other through lack of communication. You can still hug, you can still smile, you can still pray in your own language. And it brought about what heaven is going to be like in our own languages, praising God and praying and worshiping. And that was really special. The message of each one, reach one, really touched me. And it's like, what can I do? What can I do when I get back home? So there is somebody that I work with that has been very troubled life. And I said, this is going to be my one person. And I chose this young lady at work that I've been praying for and encouraging her to make right choices and accept Christ into her heart and recommit her life to Christ. So that is what I got out of this. Thank you.
This mission trip was unlike any that I've ever been on. I was just amazed at the passion that the missionaries had. AJ and Chelsea, they were really interested in what was going on with us as people and wanted to get to know us. And they invested a lot of time and effort into teaching us the things that they'd learned. And then also the other family that was there, their names were Ken and Erin. She did all the cooking for 14 or more people every day, three meals. And they've just, a couple from the United States, they left their family and grandkids and everybody just to serve for a year. So the missionaries were just very inspiring, and seems like sometimes you have to get away from your normal settings and your normal life for God to talk to you. And he definitely spoke with me there, and I just learned a lot of things, and it was really a good trip.
Hi, they've asked me to share some of my cross-cultural observations from our experience there. And of course, no overseas group travel experience would be complete without a customs story. And our trip started off with that, because upon arrival, one of our group members, has anybody out here ever had an SSSS stamped printed on your boarding pass? Well, we found out that stands for, I don't know, super secret search and seizure or something, because now personally, I've been through secondary inspection many, many times, including blowing false positives for explosives multiple times on one trip. But our group member not only had the secondary inspection, but she was then separated from the group and pulled off for a very close inspection of her person and her baggage, and actually separated from her passport when the customs agent walked away with it, and it was quite difficult. However, we were well equipped. We had a number of very experienced travelers in our group, and including Jonathan Aponte, our resident native speaker of English, or of Spanish, I'm sorry. And so Jonathan was able to explain what little information they would share with him to Dwayne, and eventually it didn't take too long, but it took longer than you wanted to. We all got through customs, and then we're out into the city, zooming through Santo Domingo. How many of you here have been to Santo Domingo? Okay, it's got interesting traffic patterns, doesn't it? But not unlike you see in many developing countries. When you see like three or four people on a motorcycle or two people on a motorcycle carrying a mattress, that type of thing, it's not at all implausible to see something like that on the highways around Santo Domingo. We couldn't tell really when rush hour was. We just knew there were a couple times when we knew it was not rush hour, but most all the rest of the time we were on the road, it seemed like it was rush hour. The first morning I woke up, and the thing that told me I was in another place for sure, it wasn't the construction of the building, it wasn't the banana trees, the mango trees, it wasn't the very secure fencing and gate that locked out any intruders from the property. No, I looked out the window and there was a dog on the roof. And I don't think I'd ever seen that. A beautiful white German Shepherd, just like sitting right in the center point of the neighboring roof. And that seemed to be his little spot for the day. That was interesting. We went to church, and I've got to say that the church experience, just sharing our time with the membership and the leadership of that church, was extraordinary. Please don't miss next Sunday when Scott Armstrong will share his own vision with us here. That's May 5th. Scott and Emily will be here, and I assume their kids will be here as well. It was a great pleasure of ours to spend time in their Spanish language congregation. And I must reiterate what Cheryl said about the integration of the youth with the actual Bible study and worship elements of the church service and group meetings was extraordinary. Please don't sell the young people short. And young people, this requires your own tending your own garden, so to speak, to seek out opportunities to study God's word together and to pray together so that we can all grow together. So thank you for this time.
Okay, so one of the coolest parts, at least for me, when we went down there, is they did a Sabbath day for us. And when we all met up together last week, I think a lot of people talked about that as well, how the Sabbath day really made an impact on them and how they're still carrying that through to their lives right now. And I definitely am. So they took a day where we did absolutely nothing. It was awesome. And we didn't leave the house. There was no media. I didn't have my phone. But it was really, really great. The night before, AJ and Chelsea sat us down, and they had a paper that they gave us, and it explained, you know, the Sabbath and different ways that people had practiced the Sabbath throughout time and how people can practice it now. And I had never really taken the time to think about that. I grew up, my dad's a pastor, and so Sundays were very busy, and I just thought, well, that's the Sabbath because it's Sunday, but we really didn't rest on Sunday. And I'm not a rester. I like to do things, and I get bored easily. And so it was challenging at first, but by the end of the day, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel amazing. And so it was just very good to get to sit with all these guys and get to know them better, as well as just find time by myself to rest. And I've been taking that into my everyday life now, and my roommates have even asked about it, like, Caitlin, you've done nothing today. Why? And so I get to tell them about it, and it's just so nice to turn off the phone, turn off the TV, and just relax and rest in God and spend time with people and really spend time with them and listen. So, yeah.
Good morning, CenterPoint. So it's my job to talk to you guys about coming in August. Yes. I plan on going again. I'm excited about it. one of the coolest things that we did every day is we got together and we talked about what we saw the Spirit of God doing that day. And I have stories that I could tell you about how I saw the Spirit moving and how we were seeking Him. But it was just really, really cool. And if you can, if you're not, you know, you don't, if you're able to, I hope you'll look into the information about coming. I know a lot of people have obligations and jobs and they can't do that kind of thing. But what you can do is you can help support us, other people that can go. I wasn't able to pay for it on my own. Luckily, I have a great church family that paid for me. And I'm so grateful for that and the experience that I had there. It's changed me. And I'm just looking forward to the August trip and see what God's going to do in and through me in that time, too. Thank you, guys.
All right, one more time. Give it up for these guys. We're going to let them go down. So Kevin was mentioning there about our debrief time while we were on this trip, and AJ and Chelsea, before they went to the mission field, they were youth pastors here in the States, actually here on the Florida district. And one of the habits they got into by way of reflection with their kids was around these three questions. What went wrong today? What was awesome about today? And where did you see God at work today? And those questions manifested themselves in different ways each night. Did anything make you sad today? Did anything make you mad? Was anything disappointing? What was awesome? What was great? What made you happy? Where did you see God's love? Where did you see God move? How did you see God work? And I remember one night I was sitting there and I journaled that I said, I want to bring this home to my own family so that when we gather at night as a family, we can ask these questions: joy, junk, and Jesus, right? What was awesome? What was not awesome? Where did you see God's love? And we haven't done it every single night that we've been back, but we've done it a lot of nights. And I kid you not, last night, Andy was at a sleepover. It was just Avery, Mia, Marley, and myself at home. We went in to put these girls to bed, and Mia laid down, and she said, Daddy, I want to try to pray tonight. And I said, okay, Mia's 4 years old. And so Mia prayed, and we prayed together, and I seriously was like, all right, guys, let's turn the lights out and let's go. And Mia goes, no, Daddy, you have to ask me if anything bad happened today. It's like, oh, you're right. I'm supposed to ask you that. And we talked about junk, joy, and Jesus. I'm not telling you this because I'm the pastor and I'm trying to get you to go on this trip. I'm telling you this because it's the truth. As a youth pastor and as a pastor, I've either been on or led 18 different short-term mission trips. This is the best one I've ever been on. For the experience you get between the work that you're doing, the cross-cultural experience, the partnership with the local church, the Sabbath experience, it is an incredible week to be a part of. Our next trip is set for August 29th through September 6th of this year. And it's going to be an incredible experience. We can only take 20 people. This morning when you came in, you should have gotten three pieces of paper at the door. You should have gotten our annual church report. You should have gotten your worship folder. And inside your worship folder should have been a half sheet, which is actually the application for this trip. You can see the dates there. You can see the cost. Last time we advertised $1,200 for this trip. God paid the way, and by the time we were able to get a good price on plane tickets, this trip cost $860 for the entire week of everything. And what I said to you beforehand, God proved faithful through our trip that if finances are an issue for you, don't let them be. God makes a way if He's calling you. He will resource you if He's calling you. Now, what we're looking for here over the next couple of weeks are receiving those applications back along with a non-refundable deposit. The non-refundable deposit is $500 and it secures your spot on the trip. If you can't make $500, then let's simply have a conversation to see what you and your family can come up with, and we will work together as a team to ensure that everybody is able to participate who God is calling to participate. Now, as JT mentioned, next Sunday is our Faith Promise Sunday. We will have with us next Sunday Scott and Emily Armstrong. So, Quick bunny trail. Promised Alyssa I wasn't going to do it, but here I go. This Saturday night at our Florida District Advance, missionaries AJ and Chelsea Fry are both going to be ordained. So Scott and Emily Armstrong are going to be here to love and support them as they are ordained. And so that very next day, May 5th, our Faith Promise Sunday, Scott and Emily are going to be here. Scott and Emily are the directors of both the Center of Missionary Formation in the DR, and they are also the directors of the Genesis Project. The Genesis Project is an urban church planting movement in that region where they are specifically planting churches in cities of 100,000 people or more. So to reiterate what JT said, Centerpoint, let's be here next week in full force to support them and love them and renew our commitment to global missions and also our commitment to Faith Promise and our commitment in partnership with the DR. In light of that, I want to thank Franco Lacemeda, our missions president, and his team for all that they're doing to keep missions before us on a weekly basis through our mission spotlight. Thank you, Franco, and to your team. And more importantly, as far as it goes with the DR trip, my request for you today is that you simply be in prayer about what your role is. Kevin said it, and it's the truth. As an all-church effort, every one of us have a role to play in this next DR trip, and there are really only three options. You can be a participant. You can be a participant or a prayer partner. You can be a participant, a prayer partner, or a financial supporter. Some of us need to be all three. So if you can't go, can you pray? If you can pray, can you give? Let's help one another, all church effort, to make this thing awesome. This is an all church event. All right, everybody with me, say uh-huh. Uh-huh. The landing strip's in sight. You guys ready to go eat some burgers, some dogs, play some games? Here we go. Also this morning, I wanted to give you a quick update on the potential sale of a back portion of our property. As a board and staff, we believe that we are being called to a greater level of stewardship and financial faithfulness than simply paying interest on our building and property for the next 26 years, which we currently stand to do. We're called to be great stewards of all that we've been given and to be most faithful. We believe that we could be, and we believe that we should be free from our mortgage debt sooner than later. We want to see much more of our financial resources and our people resources going towards ministry efforts that impact the lives of people, not simply interest on a building. And so therefore, we as leaders are doing our due diligence in this quest for not financial freedom. We're doing our due diligence as if it all depended on us as leaders, but we're praying and trusting God, knowing that it really all depends on Him and His movement. Centerpoint, I hope it's evident to you today that God is moving His church forward, and we want to be faithful to Him, and getting out of our mortgage debt is our next huge step in being able to redirect our resources to places and to things and to ministry and to people that matter. Amen? Amen. Therefore, we've signed a contract with an agent. We currently have a back portion of our property on the market, and we are moving forward as a church board, gaining all the approvals that we need with Orange County. We believe that the sale of this back portion of property will serve as a catalyst for us as we move towards debt freedom. And I simply want to ask you today that you continue to pray about this venture, that God will open the doors, that one day we'll have new neighbors back here, and we'll be better resourced to go and do what God's calling us to do. If you have questions about any of that, we did have an all-church meeting, but I am available in any of your board meetings, or your board members, which are listed in your annual report this morning. We're all available to talk to you and answer questions as they come along in the process. I want to thank Marley and my girls for all that they do for me, for all the love and support that they give me. I think it's safe to say that we love this church. We love living life alongside of you, and we know that God has great days in store for us. I also want to thank our entire church staff. Sometimes we don't think of it this way, but Centerpoint, as a body of Christ, you employ 47 people between church staff, support staff, pastoral staff, journey employees, teachers, custodial, maintenance staff. And lastly, I want to thank our church board for their leadership and their spirit of servanthood. They make me a better person, and I am blessed to journey alongside each of them. My prayer is that God will continue to transform each and every one of us more and more into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that more and more we might prove faithful at being His hands and feet in the world. Amen. Respectfully submitted, Dwayne Adams. Yeah.